So, welcome everyone, and I look forward to seeing requests come on our call board. We don't have anyone yet, but I'm sure someone will come on. And there we go. We have a caller from area code 646 and 641. I'm sorry. You're on.
Linda, it's Betty Ann.
Hi, Diane.
You know, last week I heard music for 30 minutes and I kept getting cut off and I have to keep redialing. So I don't know what happened. Was it my phone or yours?
No, it was the system. I had made a mistake on giving the system some instructions, and now that I've been given instructions, that should never happen again.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Bless you, dear.
You're welcome, and I'm so sorry about that.
All
so,
right.
Did you have anything else you wanted to say?
No, I look forward to the sessions, and I feel myself fuller with love and peace and quiet. I had some very difficult few months, and your sessions with you and Yeshua allow me to have a better perspective that
life. I am so glad.
Thank you.
And I have another caller on. We're going to open the line for 641-451-0621.
Yes, I just am thankful for my many blessings, and I'm wondering if I should be relocating myself for, like, to get into a higher vibration. I work on this all the time. I'm a little dysfunctional, and but at least I catch myself. You know, it's a process, and I just want to praise God and for my blessings 24/7.
That's very good. Very, very good. Elevation begins with gratitude. Now, let me ask you, are you talking about relocating geographically, or just in a different home, or in a different situation?
Yeah, geographically. I would love to work with animals, and I'd like to get to that place, you know.
Wonderful. And do you have that place in mind?
No, I don't. I didn't know. I'm not sure, you know. I know there's one place, that animal refuge in Utah. It's a sanctuary. That's one place I had in mind.
I'll tell you what, dear. First of all, I will hold you in our blessing to find the right place. And then if you will write me, just send me an email to care@spiritus.org. And that's S-P-I, just like spirit is, only it's spiritus. We say it's spiritus, but it's spirit is, all one word, @.org. Send me an email there. I will connect you with someone, a blessing giver, who is already giving animal blessings, and I think she might be a really nice person for you to get to know, at least by email. Okay?
Okay. It's care@spirits.org, and it's all small letters, right?
All small letters, but it's spirit is, not just spirits.
Oh,
S-P-I-R-I-T-I-S.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. And let's see. Let me scroll through our board and see if anyone else has come on the line. We still have a few minutes, 3 minutes, before our inspirational blessing. So I don't see anyone else on the call, but a lot can be said in a couple of minutes, so I'll keep checking. An interesting thing about this new system is we don't get very many people on one page on our call board, so I have to keep scrolling back and forth just to see who might want to speak. All right, well then I will just, again, express my apologies and explanations for what happened. I know that we can become a little weary once we have experienced that kind of trouble or setback and we're a little afraid to call in, that will not happen again. And if you do hear the music again, it will mean that I do know how to handle it, and it will be ceased at the appropriate moment. As a matter of fact, I was thinking about playing the music during the conveyance of the blessing because I thought it would actually help to elevate the spirit and the inspiration and our connection with God. Now, I do, there, Sharon, I see you're on the call. Hello, dear.
Hi, Glenda. I just wanted to give thanks to everybody being here on this call and how all of us together, you know, are going to open the portals to love and light streaming down upon us. And Friday, I do a first Friday meditation for my clients to come, and the angels always give a blessing at the end, and the gift they gave was an image of us burying our noses in a big bouquet of our favorite flowers, and we were to breathe in hope. And I just wanted to share that everybody share their image with people, because it was so what the people in the group needed.
Oh, that's beautiful. I love that, Sharon. Thank you so much for sharing. That is just lovely. And I think everybody got that one. So a big bowl of flowers for everyone. I send you flowers, and the Holy Spirit sends you flowers, and God the Father created them for you. There is someone on area code 916. I'm not sure if you're new or if that's a call we took before, but if you're new, you're on. Okay. I thought that might have been an older call. Let me just make one more check through. Here we go. 856, area code. You're on. Well, that person didn't want to speak either. So it must be that everybody is getting ready for our message for the day. And we pause for just a moment as we get ready for our message. This is something that I always prayerfully ask Yeshua before the blessing, because I like to know where our community is, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, what is most needed, what we need to learn next, what we need to reach for in our life more deeply and more fully. And he instructed me to continue teaching about the art and the grace of receiving blessings, but to take it to a new level in a new context. We've talked about receiving for a number of weeks. Last week we talked about applying ourselves, and how applying is a little different from doing. Sometimes we can get so hung up in doing in the world, we're not open for other possibilities. But when we simply apply ourselves to opportunities, or apply ourselves to the grace of God or the goodwill of our fellow man, miracles happen. Application is a little more open than simple action. And he said, but before you teach them anymore, I want to remind them that the kingdom of heaven is within them. The kingdom of heaven is in your heart. And he said, this is why I instructed them centuries ago and ever since to seek first the kingdom of heaven, and then all the blessings of God shall be laid upon you. And I use the analogy of a child, because because children find it so easy to be in the kingdom of heaven. They're so attuned to it. They're so ready to receive. They're so ready to then apply to life everything they learn. Children are miraculous creations of God, waiting to fulfill their potential in life. And it's just amazing what they can do. But there's more. Inside our heart, in the kingdom of heaven, there are wondrous levels of wisdom and intelligence that can be used to guide our life and allow us to perceive the opportunities for blessing and enjoy and apply to life the richness of blessing. Yeshua reminded me of these dimensions of intelligence in the heart, that we should study them daily. If you have never made a little chart, I recommend that you do. Use little concentric circles, ever getting bigger. You could start with a bottle cap, then go to something a little larger and something a little larger, and then to a dinner plate on the outside. Make 7 concentric rings. And these are the rings of intelligence in the heart. The blessings from God go directly to your heart and work their way out into life. And this is why you need to understand the levels of intelligence through which these blessings will then filter out into your life. The innermost part of your heart is unity. And that center is just like the hub of the wheel. The hub of the wheel is the only part of the wheel that affects and distributes energy and the torque to all parts of the wheel and is universally receptive to all parts of the wheel. It's central to the wheel. This is where the blessings of God enter your life. Very difficult to receive blessings of God if we are not in a state of unity with God and with our fellow man. Now think back to the only two commandments that Yeshua gave us. To be in unity with God, in other words, to love God with all our heart, mind, and soul, to cultivate a state of living that is in unity with God. Now we each go about doing that differently because we're each unique. We were created to be absolutely unique snowflakes, butterflies, creatures of God. And we each have our own way and our own path. But we all know unity when it's there, when it happens, and when it's being activated. So be in unity with God. And then work daily on being in greater unity with your fellow man. There is the second part of Yeshua's commandment, to love your fellow man as yourself. Now, he didn't mean to put your fellow man above yourself or to impose your values on someone else and make them only agree with the way you do life or the way you would prefer life to be. In other words, don't clone yourself in another or see yourself as the clone of someone else. Allow for differences, of course. The real ultimate meaning lies in the center of our heart, and that is to seek union, to find the place in our heart, in our mind, in our soul, in society, where we can feel most united with our fellow man. Find that place of unity, because it is to this unity that the blessings of God will be given. And from that unity, there's an absolutely natural flow of grace into the energy of love. Once we are in unity, it's so easy to love. Children know how to do this. They do it naturally. They just, you give them a teddy bear. What's the first thing you're going to do? They're going to hug that teddy bear. And then they're going to put that teddy bear down beside them and start talking to that teddy bear. And that pretty soon that teddy bear will know everything about their life. And they'll give teddy bear a name. And maybe they'll share their chocolate pudding with teddy bear. And then have to give teddy bear a bath, of course. But all in all, what they're doing is they're loving teddy bear. Once we are in a state of love with anything, we acquire a new plant. Hopefully we acquire a plant we feel more in unity with because it will inspire us to love it. And we will feel its love for us. Right? Very simple. Very, very simple. And because of that, it gives life to us and we give life to it. If that little child could make that teddy bear come alive, she would. In fact, she'll stand him up and walk his legs to see if he can walk on his own. She'll nod his head so he'll agree with her. She'll tell him stories and she'll sit him in front of the TV and she'll laugh and she'll make like he's laughing too. She'll bring him to life. You notice how children bring their toys to life? They tell their stories to their toys. Well, okay. Blessings unfold and the next level as life. So look for your blessings unfolding as life. Now, as your blessings begin to unfold as life, let's just say that you have been struggling with a health problem. The first thing you need to do is be in unison with God. Be in unison with those who can care for you or assist you. Be in unison with yourself. Find yourself at a place, and this is very important, restore unity within. Don't think of yourself as broken. Go back to a time when you were in perfect health and feel yourself in unison with yourself. So important to reestablish that unity with yourself. And love yourself in that way. And then unconditionally love the broken parts of yourself because of what it can offer you as a challenge to overcome, as an opportunity for empathy, as an opportunity for, as a challenge, an opportunity for healing and growing and becoming more than you thought you could be. At that point, we begin to see the opportunities for life coming back to us. We can ask for life. We can embrace more life that comes to us. As that life comes to us, what do we need to do next? It's all written in the intelligence of the heart. The next ring of the heart is respect. We need to respect life. When life begins coming back to us, don't return to your old bad habits. In fact, Yeshua said this more than once to people he healed miraculously. He said, "Your faith has made you whole. Now go forth and don't do the same old things that got you in trouble." Of course, that's my paraphrase, but go read the scripture. You'll see his words exactly. In other words, respect the new life coming to you. If we had fully respected the life that was there before, it would have been stronger. And part of that may involve, at this point, it might involve a detox program. If you're healing an illness, you might want to just, well, a detox program could consist of anything from a sauna to drinking more water to drinking more lemonade, to a liver detox, maybe a therapeutic massage, other more aggressive forms of detox such as chelation. There are lots of levels of detox that you can discuss with your holistic therapist or your MD and come to some plan for detoxing your body. As a matter of fact, there are many vitamins and minerals that have a detoxing aspect to them. Mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, there's a detox too. Emotionally, it's called forgiveness. Forgive yourself, forgive others, forgive God. Forgive life, that it had some sudden surprises for you, that maybe it presented you with obstacles that were too great to handle at the time. They were hardships that might have come to you as children, and they were overwhelming as children, but you can handle them now. Forgive life that these happened too soon, and now practice handling them now that you can. These are all aspects of respect. The mind, detoxing there, get rid of wrong ideas, wrong thinking, judgments, prejudices. Get rid of it. It's all clouding your mind. It's preventing you from receiving the blessings of God. Spiritually, well, that's a simple one. Faith is what makes you whole. And faith is what restores and corrects for your many moments of distrust. Too often, we can fall into distrust. And we do it unknowingly of the toxicity that can come from distrust. Here's how it happens. Things just get a little bad in life. They're a little worse than we thought they would be. Maybe we lose a friend or two. Maybe we don't have as much money in our bank account as we need. We've been sick 3 months when it should have been a simple cold. And we start distrusting the inner life to support us. We just get into this distrust mode. Have you noticed people who have suffered not necessarily horrible things, but just frustration after frustration, disappointment after disappointment, loss after loss, and you've been around them and you notice they're all defensive. You try to give them a good idea and they reject it. Doesn't matter what you say, they'll reject it. They even get impatient because they think nothing will work. If you push too hard, they'll get grumpy. What's happened is the toxicity of distrust, because that's a defense mechanism that we start putting up when there's been a pattern over a long period of time of things not working well or well enough or rightly or to your benefit. And people can get to the point where they don't even pray because they don't trust God. They don't think anybody loves them. Well, if you've gotten to that point, I want you to go every day to something, anything you know you can trust. It doesn't matter what it is if you know you can trust it. Be with it. Think it. It might be a book that you've read that you know when you open the pages of that book, wisdom comes to you. When you listen to a certain music, good feelings come to you. It might even be a food that's not, well, let's just say not bad but not optimum, like ice cream. Who doesn't love ice cream? Well, people who are lactose intolerant don't like it, but most people do. It's not the greatest food in the world because it's got sugar and fat and a lot of other things I could list. But still, for some people, it's a comfort food. And it's a whole lot better than distrust. Sometimes we become so picky and fearful about our diet and the things in it, we find there's no food we trust. Well, find something you do trust. Maybe it's a carrot. Maybe it's an apple. Maybe it's a good friend. That's how you detoxify the spirit, the soul. You have to learn to trust again in order to trust yourself. If your faith is not working, you're not trusting yourself. It's as simple as that. You're not trusting yourself. Life has given you some bad signals, some stoplights, some disappointments, some stumbles. You don't trust yourself. So the restoration of trust brings faith. And faith brings us to the next level of wisdom. In the ring of wisdom in our heart. And that is honesty. Truth. Now, how in the world are faith and truth connected? Okay, well think about this. The last time you ever told a little white lie, and who hasn't told a little white lie, if only just to not hurt somebody's feelings? Oh, you're looking so good today, when you're really thinking, my gosh, you need to go home and go to bed. You know, when the last time you told a little white lie, we won't talk about the big black ones, we'll just talk about the little white ones, okay? You didn't trust something. You didn't trust yourself not to hurt somebody's feelings, or you didn't trust them to be big enough to hear the truth. Or you didn't trust the truth to work. You didn't trust yourself to be strong enough to speak the truth. You thought you would get hurt by speaking the truth. You see? Respect precedes our ability to be in the truth, to stand in our truth. So, respect builds trust. What is trust but an extension of truth? It's a trust is the bridge to truth. And truth in our life, when applied to our life, is honesty. We don't always know the big truth, you know, truth as God would see it, or truth even as a scientist would see it, or someone who has all the facts about our economy would see it, or all the facts about what's going on in the world would see it. So we don't always know the big truth. And that doesn't require, it doesn't require you know the big truth in order to be honest in your life. Honesty is about standing in the truth as you know it, and to create your realities, your personal realities, around something that has a strong foundation. Because you see, God's blessings are always directed toward your connection with God in the truth. God doesn't actually feed your fantasy. God doesn't feed your delusion. God doesn't feed your denial or your illusions about life. Now, God understands that you have a right to create your personal reality, but it needs to be standing on a strong foundation. As Jesus said, don't build your house on sand. Build it on rock. If you're standing on a hard rock of truth, you'll be in more direct connection with the blessings of God. And that leads us to the next two rings of intelligence that I will be much briefer on, simply because they require less elaboration. When we pray, remember to pray for others, and remember to pray from a heart of justice and fair play. The sixth ring of wisdom in the heart is justice. Pray for your right share, your rightful share of life, and the rightful share of others. Pray for the restoration of that which has been taken from you. And pray for others as well. Justice means balance. It means adjustment. It means correction. And we don't necessarily pray to have more than others. We pray to have our share of food on the table and pray that others shall be fed as well. And that is a perfect bridge to kindness, which is the last dimension of the blessing and the last dimension of the heart. As we reach out to the world, reach out to the world, offering our blessings to others. And that is the greatest act of kindness. As God has blessed you, give your blessings to others. This is, I think, the fundamental principle of tithing. God didn't ask us to consider him a financial partner or a holder of stocks or bonds in your company, or to be a legal partner in your life. After all, God's creation is done, and God provides for us. He's not partnering in that sense. What he is doing is blessing our life so that we can create the life we choose. And all he asks is that we pass his blessings on to others. That was the very simple meaning of a tithe. That's the way we acknowledge that God has been our support and our source of blessing. And we pass it on from the heart of kindness to others, that God may then bless others even further with that from which we have been blessed. In other words, we're creating a seed that can be propagated, the seed of blessings. Let's call it that. I think that's a beautiful name, the seed of blessings. And, of course, this is what we do at our blessing conference. We take on people who want to become more of a blessing to the world and teach them how to offer the blessings of Yeshua and the blessings of God and the Holy Spirit onto the world, that they may be a greater seed of blessing, offering blessings back into the world, that their very life may be a tithe back to God. And I hope you will consider that. It's time to really start planning and looking at airline reservations and talking to your family and friends and setting aside time to put it on your calendar. We want as many people as possible to be here at the next blessing seminar, because the more people we have offering the blessings of God around the world, the more we will achieve in the ultimate blessing, which is the upliftment of all humanity. Now, as you've seen, many people have achieved much as individuals, but it hasn't always brought up the whole of humanity. Yeshua brought up the whole of humanity, and a few rare other individuals have lifted up the whole of humanity as well. Think about the great medical discoveries, such as penicillin, improve the whole of humanity. And you're capable of lifting up the whole of humanity. It's a matter of perspective. Some people, when they receive blessings, it's just about them. And it extends pretty much no further than their family or the company they run or maybe the community they make some tangible charitable contributions to. But there are ways to make your life a blessing to the world and to uplift the whole world. If you would like to be such a person, seriously think about coming to the Blessing Seminar in October, which will then begin to qualify you for becoming a blessing teacher. And the more blessing teachers we have out in the world, the less future blessing givers will have to travel. The more we become an active, extended network available to all people, and think of that. When we have blessing givers around the world who can then teach blessings around the world, what a change we will experience in the world. We've gone a little past our blessing time, but this was because we had such a powerful message and it couldn't be shortened because it's about the blessings of the heart that live within you all the time for the whole of your life. From the moment of your conception, did you know that the first cell created in your body was a heart cell? And the heart cells multiplied and multiplied for quite a few times before they began to diversify. And within your heart, from the moment that heart cell was created, the Sacred Heart was present with all of the wisdom from which the whole of your life would be created. And that's something to think about in itself as a miracle to behold. So let us begin the blessing now. I will say my prayer to Yeshua, and then we will begin the energetic conveyance of the blessing. As soon as I have completed my invocation to Yeshua, I will start the Alleluia music as a background to the energy. Hopefully it will help to accelerate the energy. And I will end the music when the blessing is complete, at which time I would like you to go and rest for at least 7 minutes to assimilate and receive and reside in peace within your heart. Dear Yeshua, the one who has brought us a recognition of our whole life, all that we have ever been, all that we ever have, will be, all that we ever can be, all written in the script of our heart. Help us today to be more powerfully in our heart, to be receivers of God's grace through the portals of our heart, that we may receive in unity, love, life, respect, honesty, justice, and kindness, knowing that you lived your whole life as an example of the Sacred Heart walking in the world and transcending the worst perils of the world to become immortal as the everlasting Sacred Heart among us. We ask for your healing, your comfort, your love, your grace, and your encouragement as we discover this great God-given power within ourselves. Amen. I would like to ask the blessing givers to join me now. Thank you. energetic conveyance of your blessing is complete. Now I would ask that you go and rest. Be with God. Be in your heart. Allow the blessings to unfold. Assimilate them into every part of your body, heart, soul, and being. Have a wonderful week, and I look forward to being with you again next week. Bye-bye for now.